So last Sunday we'd finished up on the Hebrew word safa for faith. And we looked at Micah 7:7, which reads, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And when it says I watch in hope, that is this Hebrew word safa. Now this has had the idea of a watchman on a wall or a guard tower, a guard that's posted as a lookout, and that guard or watchman is looking out for the enemy, for the enemy's approach, for the enemy's presence in the land. Or in another context, if one's in a battle or war or something, then that watchman is looking for the reinforcements to arrive, for the cavalry to come. Cavalry. I always get that mixed up. The cavalry to come and to lend the assistance that the troops need to turn the tide of war. And then in the context of the passage we have here, looking for God to show up, looking for any and all evidence that God is moving on our behalf, that he's working in the situation, that he is really there, really active in our lives, orchestrating all of the things that we're going through in such a way that it ends in our benefit. And that's really difficult, especially when we're in the throes of a deep trial or tribulation. But we need to be looking for God as our cavalry coming through to turn the tide. And in that case, Micah was in an apostate nation, and he was looking for God to come through and rescue him concerning the situation he was in. Now we're going to move on to the Hebrew word mibtach. And the Hebrew word mibtach is derived from a word that we've already had, which was batak. And if you remember, batak had that concept, that idea of laying down, being relaxed and completely at rest in the middle of a field or maybe on a warm, sunny beach. Just that sense of security, the trust in someone or something. This idea of mibtach is the object of our batak. So the object of our security, trust, the object of our stability, whether that be physical stability, mental stability, or emotional stability. And the peace of mind that comes from that idea of batak. So when we are at rest in this sense of security, we don't have anything to worry about. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7. This reads, "Cursed is the doctrinal believer who puts his trust in flesh." That trust is that batak. In other words, in other people for his strength. "And whose heart turns away from Yahweh. Blessed is the man who trusts," batak, "in Yahweh, whose confidence is in him." That confidence is this mibtak. The object of security, the object of that this whole concept here. It refers to the person or thing upon which the believer has set his faith, trust, confidence, or hope, the object of our trust. When Bildad was speaking to Job, he told him that there were things that the godless have placed their trust or hope in, but he says, "What he trusts in is fragile. What he relies on is a spider's web. He leans on his web, but it gives way. He clings to it, but it does not hold. That is Job 8, 14 and 15. So Bildad, when he says that the things that they trust in are a spider's web, he uses the word Mibtak to show that they are placing their confidence in a spider's web, that fragile thing that a spider's web is. Later, in chapter 18, he says that death and disease takes away a man from the security of his tent. Death and disease take away a man from the security of his tent. That is, from everything that he has been trusting in. Job 18, 14. Reads, he is torn from the security, Mibtak, of his tent and marched off to the king of terrors. King of terrors is death. Disease is its firstborn. But Job stated that he had not put his trust in wealth. He said, if I have put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security, in Job 31, 24, or that he had not put his trust in gold or looked at it as his security. So despite all of the suffering that Job had experienced, Job's confidence was in the Lord all the way through. David, in Psalm 44, he said, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, his object of security, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false idols. Or as an expanded translation, happy is the doctrinal believer who makes Yahweh his security, confidence, the one whom he trusts in, who does not look to the proud, the arrogant, to those who turn aside to false gods. So the formula for true success in life is to make Yahweh our sole source of security, our true confidence, the one and only person or thing that we trust in, our Mibtak. We are not to look to the proud or the arrogant or copy them in what they do. These are the ones that have put their trust in false, deceptive, lying idols. And in this particular passage, it uses the cal participle, which is the participle being the ongoing active process. So they have done this as a way of life. It's what they habitually practice. And they've turned to this because of their negative volition towards the word. A false idol, of course, is anything that a believer puts his confidence in other than Yahweh. It can be our money, our education, our business, job, our retirement or 401k. It can be our health or life insurance. It can be in our leaders or government, even our family or our own individual intelligence. A believer is to trust, have confidence, and derive security from God alone. And if it isn't, if our security is coming from something else, whatever we've placed that trust in becomes an idol to us. Another one of the concepts of Mibtak is it not only speaks about the object of one's trust or confidence, but the thing which the believer gets, the thing in which the believer gets his stability from. So these things like money, insurance, retirement, and so on are all things that people use to have a sense of stability. But another one is the male-female relationships. Many believers are looking for some kind of love relationship or feeling with someone of the opposite sex. The reason for this, even though that they may not be aware of it,
is that they think or hope deep down that their souls will have some form of stability finally. And if they can just find that one special someone who will love them or that they can love, that it will provide for them and their souls what they're lacking and will give them that stability of soul. But when they do this, they're making another person their mibtak. Another person has become their idol. This is why death of a loved one is so hard to bear. Not only because we lose someone that we love and care about, but we've also lost someone who's provided that sense of security and stability. That's why so many Christians draw close to the Lord when they go through these types of situations. They need God to provide for them that sense of security that they're now missing in their lives. But if one is looking for someone else or looking for someone else to love or to love them, to provide that emotional security and stability, then they've made that person their security and stability object, not the Lord. And like I said, in a sense, that person becomes their idol. God alone is to be our security, the security that our souls need, not another person, no matter how much we love them. Proverbs 14:26. It reads, "He who fears Yahweh has a strong fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." He who fears Yahweh, that's that healthy, reverent respect and submission to God, has a strong fortress. The strong fortress in just about, this is the NIV, but in just about every other translation reads strong confidence. So that strong confidence, this word for strong fortress or strong confidence is mibtak. So we see that this tells us that the believer who submits to the doctrinal system of God, the protocol plan of God, has made Yahweh his security, the thing that will stabilize his life and soul, and that it will be a refuge that his children can go to as well. Not the government, not to other people, not the company we work for, or not members of the opposite sex, but only Yahweh is to be our security and stability. Proverbs 21:22. Reads, "A wise man attacks the city of the mighty and pulls down the stronghold in which they trust." The stronghold in which they trust, again, mibtak. Here we have the security of the mighty is their city, their stronghold, which they've built with their own hands. This is a reference to the man-made system composed of economics, politics, religion, military. They trust in what they've made. Now, this calls to mind the vast majority of people living in the last days when they take the mark of the beast. They will therefore be incorporated into the great city that it talks about in Revelation that will control the whole world. And as we know, a city is actually a legally incorporated entity. So they actually become part of that entity. The city will be their security, not God. And we know the end from the beginning, so we know how that will end for them. Whereas all teaching, whether it's from the pulpit here or us parents with our kids, all teaching should be directing people to trust in God. Proverbs 22:19 states, "So that your trust may be in Yahweh, I teach you today, even you." Now we have Proverbs 25:19. And this reads, "Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble." Reliance, that's our word Mibtach again. Well, and of course, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man, right? So like a bad tooth or a lame foot, a bad tooth, you're not going to be chewing up stuff very well. Lame foot, you're not going to be getting places very well. God's people are not to make the government, their jobs, or someone that they love their security or stability, let alone the unfaithful when we're in trouble. Only Yahweh is to be our security. And how many of us have, you know, voiced our problems to worldly people, worldly Christians even, and taking their advice, and how does that end? Never too well. Now, Israel had made a political alliance with Egypt, whom they trusted in their times of trouble to help them out militarily if they were attacked, even though they had been forbidden to do so by God. They made Egypt their security, their Mibtach, not the Lord. God would never fail them, but Egypt would, and Egypt did. Jeremiah 2:37 It reads, "You will also leave that place with your hands on your head, for Yahweh has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them." Israel, their continual problem was their refusal to trust Yahweh, to trust God and believe His word, and to make Him their security. Instead, they always tended to turn to others. The prophet Ezekiel wrote of Israel's folly in turning to Egypt for help instead of turning to God when he said, "Egypt will no longer be a source of confidence for the people of Israel, but will be a reminder of their sin in turning to her for help. They will know that I am the sovereign Lord." That was Ezekiel 29:16. Again, the idea of Mibtach looks at the exercising of faith where one trusts in something or someone, and it refers to the person or thing that one is trusting in. From that, it has the idea that one has derived a sense of security, providing a measure of stability for them. Romantic love is another thing that people lean towards for that sense of security or stability. That intoxicating rush of emotions that's so pleasant the believer can be led astray by the experience of it all, because they give the soul a false sense of security and stability. And as long as the emotional love is sustained, they feel that. But that's usually short-lived. Emotions are not sustaining his soul. The emotional relationship becomes his security, where instead doctrine and faith should be sustaining his soul. Unbeknownst to the believer, they're using that kind of relationship as a substitute for a true relationship with the Lord. The Lord is to be that one and only thing they trust in. The Lord's to be our security, the one that stabilizes our soul. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 reads, "But blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh, whose confidence is in him." The man who trusts, batak, in Yahweh, that relaxed and unconcerned confidence, whose confidence, whose object of security is God. So putting one's trust in the Lord is like sending a taproot down into the soil where deep into the soil where the water is, so that when drought comes, when wind blows, the leaves will not wither, and the plant or the tree will bear its fruit in season. And so is the believer who puts his trust in the Lord. The Bible gives us all of the truth that we are to put our trust in. If a tree has been planted by man and irrigated by man, then it can wither and die when there's hard times, when there's droughts. The trees can be blown over if there's wind, because it doesn't have a taproot. It doesn't need a taproot. It's just got surface roots, and it's reliant upon man to continue to irrigate those trees or plants. And what happens if the man that's irrigating the field fails or doesn't do his job? Then the crop is decimated. The trees blow over. But when we believers have made Yahweh our trust and security, not only will we survive the droughts, the trials, and the pressures that we're placed in, but we'll continue to grow spiritually, we'll prosper, we'll be productive, and as this passage says, we'll be blessed in our Christian life. Now we have the Hebrew word sha'an for faith. Sha'an. Now this word means to lean upon, to rest upon something, like leaning against a wall or resting on one spear. It was used of kings who would lean upon their friend or their ministers as they're going out into public. It's also used for reclining on a couch where you prop yourself up on one arm. And from that, it came to have the idea of trust, of putting one's confidence in a thing, so much that you relied upon it. It says that you have observed and concluded that the thing upon which you're leaning is strong enough to hold you up. It can hold your weight, and therefore you're putting your weight upon it. You're trusting it to do so because it's reliable and dependable. It's like the pulpit here. Maybe not that direction. But, if this was made of cardboard or balsa wood, I couldn't do that. The thing would collapse. I'd end up on the ground. And in the same way, if we're relying on things that have no stability, we fall. The trouble with God's people is that they usually put their trust or lean upon someone or something else other than the Lord. They trust in their jobs, their money, their strength, the government, friends, family members, their own abilities, when God wants us to lean on Him. After the death of King Solomon, the kingdom split into two parts. You had the northern kingdom of Israel, headed by Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom of Judah, headed by Rehoboam. Jeroboam rejected Yahweh and his priests, and in their place he set up the mother goddess worship with its high places and goat and calf idols. And because of great apostasy, the Levites had to abandon their pastures and property and go down to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom, which was the only place that the true worship of God was being conducted. the only place where there was the communication of doctrinal truth. And following after them were all of the positive believers who had set their hearts on seeking Yahweh. The positive volition headed south where the doctrine was being taught. Now eventually, Rehoboam too turned from the Lord and did evil. So God raised up Shishak, king of Egypt, to attack Jerusalem and carry off as plunder all the gold and wealth of Israel and the palace and temple gold. After that, Rehoboam humbled himself before Yahweh and eventually passed away to join his fathers. His son, Abijah, succeeded him as king of Judah in the southern kingdom. And in his 18th year of reign, he went to war with Jeroboam in the north. Abijah told Jeroboam that he was in the wrong, that Yahweh, not the golden calf of Tammuz, was the God of Israel, that Yahweh was on his side, and that he, Abijah, was the rightful heir to the throne of David. Well, then the attack began, and Jeroboam attacked Abijah's troops from both sides, so sandwiched them, front and rear. And the men of Judah cried out to Yahweh. The priests blew their trumpets, and all the men shouted the battle cry. And Yahweh routed Jeroboam and his northern army on that day. And the men of Israel suffered 500,000 casualties. 500,000 Israelites died. Now, of course, we don't know if every single one of those troops worshiped the Mother Goddess. But their leaders did. And they chose to go to war following their leaders. Consequently, they suffered because they chose the wrong side. Even the fence straddlers had their fate sealed because they chose not to go down to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom where the word was, because they would have to leave behind all of their possessions, their property, and all the things that they had worked so hard to get, with the result that they ended up dying too. They had the time to make their decisions concerning the things of the Lord, and they chose against it and suffered the consequences. The men of Judah had the victory that day because they relied upon Sha'an, Yahweh, while the men of Israel were defeated because they trusted in, relied upon their false gods of the Mother Goddess cult. In 2 Chronicles 13:18, we read, 2 Chronicles 13:18. The men of Israel were subdued on that occasion, and the men of Judah were victorious because they relied in Yahweh, the God of their fathers. Again, that's that Sha'an word. Here we have the people of God, those who love Him and were seeking after Him. The doctrinal men and women of God had victory over those who were of the Mother Goddess cult. And today it would be the New Age movement. And they got that victory because they leaned on, relied on, trusted in Yahweh in faith. Now Abijah was succeeded by his son Asa, king of Judah. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In time, Zerah the Cushite mobilized an army against Asa in the valley of Zephatha. So he was going to do battle against them. Then Asa called to Yahweh, his God, and said, "Yahweh, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Yahweh, our God, for we rely on you. And your name, in your name, we have come against the great army. Yahweh, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." That was 2 Chronicles 14. Verse 11. The Cushites under Zerah were so destroyed to such a great number by God that their people never recovered. All because the people of God did not rely on their own strength or their own abilities or anyone else for that matter, any false gods or any other nations, they leaned wholly upon Yahweh. And once again, we see the principle of faith brought out as the key to the believer's success in life. Even in the face of overwhelming odds, God gives victory to those who trust in Him. Now, Asa did well for most of his life until his 36th year of reign, when Baasha, the third king of Israel, went up against Judah, fortifying Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving. But instead of seeking the Lord's reply in the matter and relying upon God, Asa took the treasuries of the temple and of the palace and went to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, to strike a deal with him instead. He wanted to make a treaty with him to have him break his previous treaty with Israel and side with him instead, which he did. And after this, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on Yahweh your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand." That's 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then he went on to tell him how Yahweh had previously defeated the Cushites for Judah, but that now he would be at war for the rest of his time. And instead of taking God's rebuke humbly, he became enraged at Hanani. Hanani was God's doctrinal communicator, and he had him thrown in prison. He didn't stop there. He also treated his own people brutally. Subsequently, he was afflicted with a serious disease in his feet, yet he still would not seek Yahweh's help. He turned instead to his physicians. So here we have, as an example, the terrible repercussions that come from turning to people to help us instead of God in our times of trouble. In Ezekiel, we also have the idea of leaning on some person or nation for support, so profoundly brought out. It reads in Ezekiel 29, 6 and 7. You, speaking of the Pharaoh of Egypt, have been a staff of reed for the house of Israel. A staff of reed is not a staff of oak or some other hard wood, but it's a marsh plant, a fibrous bamboo-like plant. When they grasped you with their hands, you splintered, and you tore open their shoulders. When they leaned on you, Sha'an, you broke, and their backs were wrenched. So here we have this picture of grabbing this fibrous, brittle reed for support. And as Israel grabs this reed for support, it splinters into their hand. And then when they put it under their arm to rest upon it or to lean upon it, it shatters and tears their shoulders open, wrenching their back. And so it is, and so it will be for the rest of us believers who lean on other people in life and not on the Lord. God is to be our Sha'an, our support. And we'll stop there this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us together around your word. We pray that you would bless this message to us and help us to apply it in our lives. And we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.